How you get 0.8?
This is Ajinae Atkins' middle school math class at the National Academy Foundation, or NAF, in East Baltimore.
When you divide, what did you get?
1, 12.
Atkins also teaches high school accounting and has several chronically absent students on both levels. They have a variety of reasons for missing school. One high school student takes 3 buses to school, and another one hangs out in the streets most nights.
At this point, she has just stopped coming, and I've notified, you know, the office, and they are working with her, but she just doesn't want to participate in the class or in school.
Atkins says one of his middle school students has family problems.
He hasn't been here for maybe a month and a half, almost 2 months. There are 5 days in a school week. You may see him 2, 3 being, you know, a good week.
He says some of those students are often disruptive when they do show up, and he has to stop teaching to calm them down. In addition, he says it's hard bringing these students up to speed on the lessons they've missed, especially in his high school accounting classes.
We do a lot of group things. So it's kind of hard to have a discussion when, you know, depending on how large your class is, if you're missing 4 or 5 students, that could be 25 to 30% of your class.
It means that on any given day, you have a different group of kids in your classroom, which puts you in a no-win position.
Robert Belfance is a senior researcher at Johns Hopkins University. He co-authored the first national study on chronic absenteeism last year.
Either you have to say, "Let me remind you what we did yesterday," and then lose the kids who were there. They get restless. Or, you know, if you weren't here, I got to move ahead, ask a friend to catch up. And then those kids will get frustrated because they won't be able to know what's going on. So either way, it's going to slow down instruction.
Okay, so now what? Tierra.
Venus Jackson heads the math department at Carver Vocational Technical High and teaches one math class. She has 3 chronically absent students, but says she normally does not reteach the lessons that they miss during her regular classes.
If you do that, you'll never get anything done. I will work with that child myself independently and allow the other students to go on.
Also, when Jackson's top students complete their work, she lets them help those who are behind because they were absent.
Raise your hand if you think you kind of got it. All right, if you don't think you have it, I need you to move next to someone who does understand. And you have it.
I do a lot of peer tutoring. Otherwise, as a teacher, you'll be burned out.
In the middle of this lesson, one of Jackson's chronically absent students arrives late with no paper or pencil. Jackson points her to supplies she keeps on a desk for such occasions and continues teaching as the student noisily sharpens her pencil.
The teacher ends up spending a lot more time nowadays in the extra support than you would just in instruction. Without the extra support, any child that's chronically absent would fail. It's a burden because it's extra work.
A burden Jackson accepts because she wants her students to be successful. Ronald Wallace, a Gilmore Elementary 5th grade math teacher, says he feels the same way and usually works with chronically absent students in separate groups. But he admits his extra efforts do not always pay off and the entire class sometimes suffers.
It really kind of just throws off the daily routine and also slows down the class flow. It slows down the students' education, and it also tends to form a gap in their learning.
At NAF, Atkins puts some of the responsibility on the student to find ways to make up past assignments, but he also gives them one-on-one attention during class.
You know how we're doing this, right? What do we got to do? You guess
times.
It. Right, all right, so what are we going to multiply?
The hours and how much you get paid. Right,
but the problem for Atkins and most teachers is that while they work to bring chronically absent students up to speed, as researcher Belfont says, the rest of the class gets frustrated and restless.
198, how much did he make per hour? Right,
so it's almost a tennis match. You have to go back and forth between the two groups, which tires you out.
All three teachers say they frequently call parents of chronically absent students, they refer them to counseling, and work with them after school. But they realize they can only do so much and still be effective for the rest of their students. Atkins and Wallace's thoughts differ on what needs to happen to turn things around.
I just would like to see just a little more follow-up on the attendance policy. It's not to arrest a parent for not bringing their kid to school, but again, I think if there are some formalized actions taking place, that parents will start to really understand that just having their child in school every day is very important.
If my son were to miss 20 days, I would hope that they would call me to the carpet. That being said, I don't think North Avenue or the state is prepared to make parents become involved in the education process.
As for Jackson, she thinks making parents more accountable will help them in the long run, but says more professional training for teachers, especially for novices, is needed as well.
The school system is basically built around middle-class norms, and many of the kids in the inner city are not even familiar with what the middle-class norms are. So what I would say is, yes, we may need more professional development on the effects of poverty and how poverty directly affects chronically late and chronically absent students.
Researcher Balfont says teachers can't solve the problem of chronic absenteeism alone. He called on school officials to form relationships with community groups and recruit more volunteers and mentors to help teachers get better results in the classroom. I'm Gwendolyn Glenn reporting in Baltimore for 88.1 WYPR.